Well, good morning, church, and welcome to Senior Adult Sunday, one special Sunday we take out of the year and we dedicate to the senior saints here within our church. And in keeping with this theme, I have a little opening quiz. See if you can identify our seniors here by these one little set of clues. Raise your hand if you're the person I'm talking about after we guess who you are. Let's try with the first one. I worked many years as a telephone switchboard operator. Who am I? Raise your hand over here, Betty Cook. Thank you so much. I was a member of a Harley-Davidson drag racing team. Who in the world will that be? Chuck Berry. Raise your hand, Chuck, right there. I spent a year and a half driving every day to Charleston from Lewisburg as I served as a lawyer. Who is that? He just sang. Wonderful. Hey, I was a basketball star in high school. Who am I? Raise your hand. Who is it? Edie Sauls. Very good. I've traveled all over the United States, yes, in a Winnebago, and I helped to drive it as well. Who is this? Colleen, raise your hand now so we can recognize you right here. Can you see her driving a big Winnebago through Idaho? Huh? Isn't that fun? I was part of a girl singing trio that performed at churches when I was only 13 years of age. Who is this? Martha Meadows. Raise your hand, Martha. God has blessed me with a bachelor's of science degree, two master's degrees, and a doctorate. Who am I? Dwight. Raise your hand, Dwight. There you go in the back. I spent summers as a teenage security guard and was given only 3 bullets to protect us all summer long. Who am I? Not Barney Fife. Who am I? Alex Feimster. Alex, raise your hand there in the back. I taught music for 33 years in Wyoming County. Who is this? Charlie. I received the Crisco Award in high school for my aptitude in home economics. Who would this be? Kay. I was a recipient of a Presidential Heroism Award for my rescue efforts after Hurricane Camille. Who am I? Glenn Camp. Raise your hand there, Glenn. How about this one? Here's a duo. We met each other through a mutual love of God and Western square dancing. Who are we? Rachel and Kenny. I used to work for the CIA, and I can admit this now. Who am I? I used to work for the CIA. Larry Lilly. Raise your hand, Larry. I once was a Rosie the Riveter during World War II. Who would this be? Miss Nelva, 95 years young here. Hey, I worked for the CNO Railroad for 40 years. Who would this be? 40 years. Raise your hand, Jack. There you go. I was a cadet at BMI and eventually became a teacher there. Who am I? Jerry Reed. Raise your hand, Jerry. Hey, how about this last one? After the fiasco we experienced with missing chicken last Wednesday night at the Awana banquet, I may be remembered not as Dr. M, but now as Colonel Sanders. Who am I? Dr. Julian back here. Folks, these are just a few of the folks here within our church. Let's see how well you know the senior saint I'm going to be talking about is taken from God's holy word. Who is this person? I live to be 120 years of age. My life could be divided into 3 40-year segments. 40 years I lived in a palace. 40 years I was in the backside of the desert tending my father-in-law's sheep. And 40 years I was spent in the wilderness tending now God's sheep. I am listed in the Hebrews Hall of Faith, as well as mentioned throughout the entire Bible. As a matter of fact, God inspired me to write the first 5 books of the Old Testament regarded as the Torah. Who am I? Moses. I invite you to turn with me to the 5th book of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy at this time, as we continue our theme of honoring seniors and, of course, being God Almighty Himself who blessed us with all these wonderful seniors. Deuteronomy, the 5th book of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy specifically, chapter number 8. And today's title for our message here on Senior Sunday is Life Lessons from the Past. So as you open your Bible with me to the fifth book of the Old Testament, I also invite you to open your sermon notes section inside of your bulletin, as we will see the life principles from past that still apply today to, yes, even the younger generation. If you have your bulletin jacket open and the sermon notes section on the left-hand side, please respond by saying, amen. Amen. Wonderful. Now, each of you, I'll invite you to read with me Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 7, as a launching pad to our message today. Is taken from the book of Deuteronomy. It's printed there for you in the fold of your bulletin. Let's read in unison, shall we? Deuteronomy 32, 7, begin. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. The elders. You think about this. We recognize not 5, but 10 seniors here earlier, friends. 10 seniors who are 90 years of age or more. Do the math. That's 900 years of life experiences. And each of these seniors have shared with me their personal testimony. I've been in each of their homes. They've all shared about how they were brought up in the nurture and admonition of God Almighty, how a senior saint invested in them, how they all came to know Jesus Christ as an early age. So only do we not only have 900 years of wealth, we also have 900 years of worship, 900 years of wisdom, 900 years that we can learn lessons from past. I'm going to invite you to follow along in your bulletin jacket, please. And the first lesson we're going to learn down here is simply going to be principle number one, we can learn from the past. Can you advance it there in the back, fellas? Thank you. We can learn from the past. Well, let's see how we can learn from the past. It's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll begin in verse number 1, but first let's pause here for just a moment and pray to Almighty God. Father in heaven, you are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. You are the rock of ages. We recognize you supremely here today. Above, yes, even the saints of God here, because we're here today for you and your behalf. So we ask you to bless the reading, the preaching, and the teaching of your word as we honor you, your blessed Son, the Holy Spirit who dwells within believers, and we ask you to move on us of all ages here today. Bless us as only you can do as we learn from your holy book, Life Lessons of Past, how we can learn from the past. Thank you, King Jesus. And all of God's children said, amen. Dear friends, notice with me in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 1. This is a time of remembrance. It says, all the commandments which I command you this day you shall observe to do. Why? So you may live. You think about this. 10 saints here, 90 years of age or older. What a long and prosperous life. You think we can learn something from them? I do. You think we can learn something from Moses? I do. Most importantly, you think we can learn something from Deuteronomy chapter 8, a time of reflection, remembering, looking back? That's what the book of Deuteronomy is all about. The word Deuteronomy means a retelling, a revisiting, a time of remembrance. So God said, all the commandments that I give you, you shall do, so you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Many of us today are reaping the benefits of our parents before us. Can I get an amen? Many of us are reaping the benefits of what our parents did before us. And such was the case right here. They're going to go into the promised land. Moses wasn't going to be there with them. But their forefathers before them had paved the way. God had blessed them. And verse number 2 says, and you shall remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why does God send us in a time of wilderness? You'll find it applicable here. We can learn from this. To humble us. To test us. To prove us. To know what is in our heart. You see that in verse number 2? Whether or not we'll keep His commandments or not. And look in verse 3. And He humbled us as He did with them. And He humbled thee. And He allowed you to go hungry. Have you ever been hungry before? Have you been hungry before? Sort of a rhetorical question. Have you ever been hungry before? Yes, I have. And yet God fed this crowd with manna, bread from above. They didn't know where it came from. Wow. That he might make thee known that man doth not live by bread alone, but by what, class? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. This is why man lives. The older generation gets this. Many in the younger generation gets this as well, so I'm not going to sell them short. But we still can go back and relive the lives of these people back in this day, and of course the senior saints here today. Think about this. In verse number 4, they're clothed in this time of wilderness wandering. This wilderness wandering, remember this. Your clothes didn't wear out, the raiments. Wax not old upon thee, and neither did your foot swell. These 40 years, many of the seniors here might say, I can't stand very long because my ankles swell. Back in this day, isn't this a miracle? Look in verse number 4. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness of all ages. Their clothes didn't wear out. Another place in the Bible says the soles of their shoes didn't wear out. Think about that. Wow. And their feet didn't even swell. God made all this possible. To him give the glory. And verse number 5 says, you shall also consider in your heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God has chastened you. Every senior here would agree with this. Spare the rod, and what's the rest of it? Spoil the child. That's what the Bible says. There needs to be a time of discipline. God disciplines us. We discipline ourselves and the Lord, our children, to bring them up to understand who Almighty God's about. And verse number 6, therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to revere him, to fear him. You see that in verse number 6? And then it goes on to talk about how God brought them. Look in verse number 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and water, fountain, the depths, the springs, out of the hills and the valleys. Verse number 8, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates and all these things. He goes on to describe this. Wow. Every senior here today would agree with these folks right here that all good comes from God. The blessings come from God. May we never forget that. And God even told Moses, write this down. Look in verse number 11. Beware that you don't forget the Lord your God. He's the one that brings blessings in life. And keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I am commanded you, Moses is saying here, on this day. And he goes on to describe down here how God was with them through the good times as well as the not so good times. But notice in verse number 17, something needs to be repeated today. Always remember this. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand has gotten me this wealth. No, be careful of that. You heard a wealthy person say that? I'm a self-made millionaire. Impossible. Well, listen, I started a business. Who gave you the intellect to do so? Who gave you the ability to retain information? Who gave you the information? Who opened those doors for you? Who gave you the ability to communicate, regardless of your vocation? To God be the glory, great things he has done. And here we find Moses just reminding the older group that's going to go into the promised land, a picture of heaven for us today. When you go out of here, make sure when you meet God, you say, to you and you alone goes the glory and the honor and the praise. You're not wealthy because of yourself. Look in verse number 18. But thou shalt remember that the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives thee power to get wealth. It is he that giveth the power to get wealth, to establish his covenant, his covenant, his promise with us. Friends, I'm just telling you, I know myself, the seniors don't really struggle with this. As I go into senior homes, my beloved wife, I'll say, tell me how much you love Jesus. And also, that's all you have to do, to sit back, and an hour later, they're still bragging on God. Everything I ever had, everything I will have in the future, everything I have been, everything I will be, is all to the glory of God. Senior saints have learned from the past. Think about this. 900 years of wisdom. 900 years of experiences with this church alone. But let's take another poll here. How about the seniors, age 55 and above? Let's just start with age 60. Raise your hand. If you're age 60 or above, raise your hand. Very good. All right, keep your hand up if you're 70 or above. 80 or above. and now 90 or above. And I think Miss Nelva, she's 95. You might make it to 100, and what a celebration we're going to have. But you think about this. Think about this. We talk about the 900 years of wealth and wisdom that the senior saints here, those recognized here earlier. 900 years. What if you combine 100 of us here today who qualify by being seniors, say 60 and above? Think about that. 100 times 60 when I went to school was what, Gary Wallace? 6,000. Have you ever heard the expression, you're old as dirt? You ever heard that expression? Mama, she's old as dirt. You don't say about Mama, you might get by with that saying about Papa. Papa, he's old as dirt. If you add just in this room right here, all of our ages up, we're older than planet Earth. Oh, we're older than dirt. If you believe God created the world approximately 6,000+ years ago, doing some basic math here, we really are older than dirt combined here together. You think there's some things we can learn from the past? I do. Think about your lives like the life of Moses. Remember Moses? He lived to be 120 years of age. 120. The first 40 years in the palace. Remember Moses was a basket case? Remember his mama put him in the basket, pushed him out? He was a basket case. He's taken to the king's palace there. 40 years there. But then he realized, this is not my home. These are not my people. So another 40 years he spent on the backside of the desert with his wife, tending his father-in-law's sheep. And then the last 40 years, God said, now I'm going to use you. Watch this. The last 40 years of your life, I'm going to use you more than I did back here in your first 40 years when you lived in a palace. Wow. You know why I'm speaking here today? Because our guest speaker, our surprise guest speaker that I had planned for 3 months, I was so excited about that. I mean, a speaker among speakers called me a little over a week ago. He said, Dallas, you won't believe what has happened. And I said, what, so-and-so? He said, God has called me into full-time ministry. I said, you're retired. He said, isn't that a gas? I'm never too old to preach the Word of God. Today he's being installed in a church here in this area. I don't want to use his name because they're voting on him today. Isn't that exciting to know that somebody in his 60s or 70s or 80s or even 90s, regardless what chapter in your life you're in, God can still use you. Isn't it wonderful to think that God can still use us? You think we can learn from the experiences of the people? Absolutely. We can learn from the past down here. But look with me in Deuteronomy 32:7. What can we learn among everything else? Principle number one, learn from the past and share it. Share it. Read with me again, Deuteronomy 32:7. Remember your days of old. Learn from the past. Consider the years of many generations even before you. Yes, respect that. Talk to your elders. Ask your fathers. He will show you. The older people, and they will tell you. Three simple life lessons here on Senior Sunday. We can learn from the past. Number two, we must live in the present. Write that down, please. We must live in the present. Now, I'm talking to the senior saints as well as the younger people here. Live now. Not in the past. Hey, learn from the past, but live, emphasis being placed on live now. Don't die while you're still living. You get that? Don't die while you're still living. Serving God now. Well, how can you serve God now? Let me give you some basic things here from Deuteronomy. You can teach the younger generation to love God. Let me put an emphasis on it. To live and love for God. Your generation is still respected. When I tell a younger person something, they say, well, that's just a preacher. When Kenny Goodall, 90 years of age, he said, listen, I've learned from the past. Let me tell you, young man, he shared this at his birthday party. We're at a gymnasium where he used to play basketball. And he said, I can't even touch the net anymore. Days of old, I can almost dunk the ball. He said, I'm not that athlete, but I have something now I didn't have then. I have 75 more years of life experiences and wisdom. And I'm telling all the young people here, love God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind. Hey, you know what that reminds me of? The same book, part of the Shema. Let's go ahead and turn back just a couple of chapters. You're in chapter 8, go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. If this isn't underlined in your Bible, perhaps you've never heard me preach. Goffman will tell you, there are some signature verses you and I need to underline. And these are some of them. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4 and 5 and following. Listen, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is but one God. And verse number 5, Jesus Christ repeated in the New Testament. Here it is. Here's a commissioning from an old person, from Moses and the Kenneys and the Nelvas and the Jacks and others. Verse number 5, a standalone verse. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with part of your heart. Is that what it says? Part of your soul, part of your might. But no, with everything. You learn this at an early age. Hey, you learn from the past, but you live in the present. Love God with everything. And verse number 6 says, and these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And what's it say in verse number 7? Circle these two words. You shall teach them. Diligently. To who? To the younger generation. You got to live now. Don't let it die with this generation. Teach the kids how to love God, how to love His Word, how to love salvation unto others. I was so impressed at the Awana banquet here Wednesday night. The challenge was set out for the seniors who faithfully serve all year in Sunday school, in the nursery, in Awana, in Vacation Bible School. The challenge was put out. We have moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas who are not even churched. Many of them. Older siblings here with the boys and girls. The bridge ceremony that night. And the challenge was put out, please don't eat with your family like you do 364 days out of the year. Could you go and mingle with the smaller children? Can you mingle with the parents? And I watched many of our senior saints did that. You know why? Because they love God. And they're living in the present. They've learned from the past that salvation begins at an early age. And I saw many of the seniors going and studying with the boys and girls in their classes, Sparks and Awanas and Cubbies and TNT and all this, and then engaging in conversation. I was going around talking to moms and dads about Jesus and talking about, and I'm looking behind me and I have this horde of adults doing the same thing. That's worthy of a round of applause. Would you join me in doing that right now? Quickly, friends, it's not rocket science. Taken from the book of Deuteronomy, a time of remembrance, a time of retelling. You can learn from the past, but live in the present. Live in the present. Engaging with boys and girls at a young age. And oh, by the way, spending time in prayer. The older generation gets this. Spending time in prayer. I want you to advance the next slide up here, please. I don't know if you can see that clearly or not. You know what that is? That's a National Day of Prayer just took place this last Thursday. That's people on their faces, on their knees in the House of Congress praying for this nation. It's not time to circle the wagons. We say we believe in prayer. Do we take time to pray on the National Day of Prayer? We send out a simple reminder, please stop and pray. We know many of you are working and teaching other things. Great. You're involved elsewhere. Great. That's okay. But please take time to pray for America. Don't give up. The older generation knows how to pray. They used to pray when we were talking earlier, Tim, about the garden, when the tractor wouldn't start, when the rain didn't come. You know why we don't pray so much today? Because we have money in the bank. We have a long line of credit. It doesn't take a lot of faith. And we can do everything on our own. But we're reminded here in Deuteronomy, that's not our wealth. That came from who? From God. Go to the next slide, please. This is Dr. Ronnie Floyd, the National Day of Prayer. This is our Southern Baptist president just a couple of years ago. This is what Dr. Floyd had to say about the National Day of Prayer. From the church house to the state house and all the way to the White House, we need to learn how to love one another. Chairman Ronnie Floyd told the crowd present at the National Day of Prayer observance on May the 2nd there in the United States Capitol. I want to remind everyone here, government cannot fix us. Politics cannot heal us. But loving one another can change the world, said Floyd, the National Day of Prayer Task Force Chairman, and the President-elect of the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee. It was the culmination of a day when people gathered in roughly 50,000 locations across the nation to pray for God to bring a revival. I attended one right here in downtown Lewisburg. I was thrilled. Churches and people, laymen, come, men and women alike, we just gathered together down here at the fountain. We prayed for Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world as Christ has commissioned us to. We gathered and we prayed for Lewisburg, Greenbrier, West Virginia, and the world as a whole. We prayed for our nation. God said, if my people, not lost people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, God said, then and only then will I forgive them and heal their land. I'm so thrilled we have a president, I'm going on record saying that, who still participates in prayer, who not only endorses it, he encourages it. He allows a Baptist minister, who by the way is retired, to come out of retirement. He's now serving with the convention. Ronnie Floyd is going to die in the pulpit. He said, there's nothing more important than prayer. The senior adults get this. We can learn from the past. We can live in the present. Why? By praying. By praying. You seniors know what I'm talking about. Praying. Prayer walking. When I got up this morning with my wife, we try to walk in the morning, just pray to God about the day, about the church, about our family, about the needs in the world. You've heard of all the bombings around the world, all the churches. Come back tonight. Come back tonight. You go hear from two of our own men. Larry and Bruce will be coming back tonight and be sharing with you what they did in Ecuador. We have some slides here we want you to see. Not only here, but we have some slides. It's amazing what God is doing in South America and throughout around the world. But we went to go for our prayer walk and it's pouring down the rain. And Donna said, well, unless you want to carry an umbrella, maybe we'll just walk around the house or do some exercises here and talk to God here. So she went to one room, I went to another room, spent time with God, just working out there. But during my quiet time with God, God said, thank you, Dallas, for still taking time to pray. You know how many people are cursing me today because it's raining? Think about this, class. Boys and girls are not hearing mom and dad pray. Boys and girls heard mom and dad cuss today because it's raining. They couldn't go to the ball field or couldn't go to the river or couldn't go on a picnic. God forgive us as a nation. Older people don't do that. Older people say, thank you, God, for the rain. The flowers must need it. The soil must need it. God help us be a nation that learns from the past, that lives in the present. Let's go to the last slide up here. And lastly over here, more importantly, that long for the promises. Long for the promises. Oh, God. The promise of the Holy Land, the promised land down here. Look, in chapter 8, they're headed to the promised land. Symbolically speaking, I'm going to borrow that and just say that's about heaven. You ask an older person, do you believe in heaven? They go, well, sure. That must mean you believe in hell. Yes, son, I do. You know what I see today with younger people? And I'm not picking on them. This is the only time I'm going to just put it out here. Age 50 and below, I've asked preachers, do you believe in hell? Yeah. I don't think you do. I don't think you do. Why not? Because there's no urgency. There's no passion. There's no unction to keep people out of hell. Well, you know, that's God's job. What happened to the day the people prayed for salvation of your lost family members? What about somebody here today that might be outside the family of God? Even a senior person right now that might be lost. You know how hard it is to stand here behind a pulpit and you have someone down here, you got to make up something? Well, he was a good person. He liked to hunt and fish. He loved mama. Don't say anything about them Cincinnati Reds or nothing about them Washington Redskins. That's everything you're going to talk about, Daddy? That's it? What about his love for Jesus? I'm employing you as well as others to get serious about prayer for salvation. We said we believe in hell. Do we really? Do we really? Seniors do. You go to Anna Ruth Crawley's house. Before you leave, you're going to be on your knees praying for the lost in America. Thanking God for her husband and her son who knew Jesus personally before they perished. Today, Bob Hammond, thank you for being here with your lovely mother. Today's Bob's birthday. His mother and father instilled in him a love for the Lord. Now you and your beloved are here. Thank you, Lord, for being here. It can't stop with this generation. We believe in heaven, yes. Well, you also have to believe in hell. And so there'll be an urgency, a sense of urgency to pray and seek and employ people to understand the simplicity of the gospel and longing for the promises. So look at your handout again. Life lessons from the past taken from Deuteronomy, time is pressing. Learn from the past. Of course we can. Live in the present. Yes, live in the present. You know what I have right here? Perhaps you received one. I'm going on record saying this, even though we're listening by radio. This is Dear Jonna Miller, send me her graduation announcement. I thought that's so nice until I read the back of it. Pastor Dallas, my love and hugs to everyone who has made me so welcome and a part of everything at your wonderful church, First Baptist. I am so blessed to know all of you. Love you, signed, Jonna. Thank you for investing in the next generation. When I turned 60, I don't know why, I started to receive a free magazine, the AARP magazine. AARP, and I looked at it, I said, Donna, did you order this for me? Now, it's fighting words now. She said, no, I think it comes free to old people. And I found out it has incredible reading material in here. A lot of it spiritually based. Health questions. Cancer in my family. Can I truly avoid it? Is heart disease inevitable? Is dementia in my future? Very serious things we as seniors are concerned about. Amen? But that has other things down here, recipes and fun ways to go on vacation, all that. But the last one down here I got to make mention of, living and loving. Listen to the title of this, How to Make Your Kids Hate You. Not. Better read this one, it says, so let's read this. How to Get Your Kids to Hate You. Track their every movements. We as seniors, are we always concerned about where our kids are? Is there an element of trust? Give them gifts, but make it conditional. Now, if I'm going to give you $1,000, I don't want you spending it on Disney. I want you spending it on bills. I don't want to see you going on vacation. I don't want to spend it on clothes. Offer outdated help. Jack, you'll like this. Jack and I remember the days, and he's much older than me, that a CD, a return on a CD, averaged about 7.5%, 8%. So you can't tell younger people, hey, listen, let me give you some help, how to save money. Put all your money in CDs. It's going to pay 8%. Mom and dad, it doesn't even pay 1%. Who are you talking to? I know it pays 8%. No, it doesn't. Provide constructive criticism. Honey, can I talk to you about your dress code? Honey, mother, unsolicited advice, you know what I'm talking about? Hey, the way you're raising your children, can I help you with that? Burden them down with your stuff. Listen, I'm a hoarder, and one day I'm going to leave all these treasures for you. They have a whole chapter on that. And by the way, on a very serious note, this last one I know to be very personal and also very, very important. If you want to get your kids to hate you, of course they're using that title loosely, keep secrets from them about your final wishes. It's a delight when I go into a family's home and mama or papa have already planned out their funeral arrangements, their investments, rather than we don't really know what they want. Folks, we all can love God. Can I get an amen? We all can love His Word. Can I get an amen? We all can love soul winning, telling others about Jesus. Can I get an amen? We can all understand the importance of saturating each of these things in prayer through divine unction and passion of God. Can I get an amen? We also can believe there's a real heaven. Can I get an amen? If you believe in a real heaven, you almost believe in a real hell. Nobody should want to go there. We as adults, senior, middle-aged, younger adults, we know the answer. So I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to do the same. Many of you are closer to the promised land than the person sitting next to you, but that's okay. Let me ask you, have you ever trusted the Lord as your personal Savior? Well, preacher, I'm 80 years old. I'm still asking you a very forward question. Have you personally ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, repentant of sin, calling out to Him to save you? you and the radio listening audience, regardless of your age, must understand that Jesus said He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man's going to come to God, the Father, except through remission of sins made possible by Jesus Christ. I'm asking everyone here, First Fairly, and everyone listening by radio, have you truly ever been born from above? Born again spiritually, Jesus is talking about. Today's message, life lessons from the past, all culminates with our belief in God, His holy word, and His Holy Spirit. We can believe the Bible when He says, whosoever calls upon the name of God will be rescued. You will be saved. Is that you today? Young and old alike, ask yourself, not am I a Baptist, a Methodist, a Catholic, or a non-denominational, am I a Christian? Can I think back to a time when I learned, lived, and loved God? Can you? If not, today could be your spiritual awakening, your spiritual birthday. The only tragedy in a day like today, as we leave this place with smiles on our faces and warm hearts, encouraging all the seniors with a luncheon, and yet some still leave here and go to hell. God forbid. I'm begging you, as much as we emphasize with the children in Awana, Children's Church, Vacation Bible School, Sunday School, camps, and more, I'm begging you to take time right now, a personal inventory of your life. Lessons from God, you must be saved. Every saved senior would agree. You must be saved in order to enter into the promised land. Listen, I'm going to read one closing verse as printed in your bulletin. You don't need to look at it. And then we have a time of solitude, of time of peace and silence so you can do business with God. Psalm 78, verse number 4 says, we will not keep these things secret from our children. We will make clear to the coming generations the praises of God and His strength and the great works of wonder which He has done. And there's no greater work than God accomplished than the work of salvation made possible through Jesus Christ at Calvary. Right now, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, look back on your life. Look back. Look, live, long. Look back on your life. Can you think of a time that you said yes to the moving of the Holy Spirit, the pricking of your heart? Can you think back to a time that you said, yes, I want to be saved? If not, today can be your day. And if so, rejoice and pray with me earnestly for those who may be outside the family of God. Let's pray right now. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the seniors that are represented here today. We thank You for using Moses, a senior himself, in a powerful way to write much of the Bible. But dear God, Moses, me, or any senior here today cannot save a person. Only Your blessed Son. Repentance of sin, calling out, confessing, believing, trusting, move on us right now, Almighty God, to do so. Friend, this is your time to do business with God. Thank You, Father, for the solitude of this moment, the forced time to slow us down so we can take personal inventory with You. We praise You, Father, Son, and Spirit, the triunity of God, for salvation as made possible back in this day of Moses and certainly today. We accept it, we believe it, and we will pass it on to the next generation. We desperately need revival in America and throughout this world. Help us to see the urgency of this moment. We've learned so much from the past. And dear God, we love you with all of our being. So may we live it out now. Live out our faith by being doers of this word. All this, of course, is made possible by you, for you, and through you. In the name of Christ. And all God's children said, amen.